If you've got a Bible, if you want to turn to Jeremiah 29, a verse I just, in a sense, skipped onto this morning, and one that you're very familiar with, 29, 11, and 12, and maybe 13. It says, this is the NIV. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Some versions of the Bible says to give you an expectant end, to give you a good end. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Many people are searching for God, and yet God promises that anybody who comes for him, who looks for him, who searches for him with all their heart, will find him. It's not rocket science. It just seems that as Christians, we've made it hard, even for ourselves, to find God. And yet God said, "I want to be found." It's like playing hide and seek with toddlers. You know exactly where they are. They're standing at the curtain or they're facing the wall. You know where they are. God knows exactly where we are. And the thing is, when it reverses and daddy goes and hides and the toddler, daddy only stands in the corner as well. He's not in the cellar hiding. God is not hiding from us. But the truth is, God has a plan for every one of us. He has a purpose. The reason we are born is because he has a purpose for us. In fact, in several parts of the Bible, it said we were predestined to produce good fruit and much fruit. We weren't just born to exist. We were born to do something with our lives. God had a plan for us. And the interesting thing is that that plan stands. But it's up to us whether we walk on it or not. These are good plans, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And it is interesting how many people, we sing songs like we've just sang. We say we crown you with many crowns, you're our Lord, but we don't want your plan. For some reason, we feel we can do better in our small-mindedness to work out the rest of our life. And yet God says, "I see the end from the beginning, and I know where you're going, and I know it's a good end." It's like a good parent can see danger before the child does. You tell kids not to do something and they fight against it because they don't see the consequences. We were doing the roof this week and Ethan gets my heart going sometimes because he stands on a parapet like me, just hangs over, goes, like, "Hello, Phil." Like, I just stands there. Hope's different. She stands back, yet she'll rock climb up 100 feet without any problem. But Ethan stands on the end and there's part of me wanting to I'm ready for him. But we sometimes see danger as adults, as more mature people, as old biddies, whichever way you want to look at that. We see things that sometimes other people don't. But I remember when I was a teenager, when older people told me, "Don't go down that way, you're going to hit a brick wall," I did what most people do today. Like, you don't have a clue. Not really realizing that my parents and their peers had all done the same thing I was going to do. But we're kind of idiots. Because we don't learn by other people's mistakes. We want to make our own mistakes. But God says, "I have a plan for you, a purpose for you, a destiny for you. And a good one at that." The thing is that there's a journey to be had, an adventure to be fought, and the devil's trying to knock us off the plan of God. And he'll knock us off by trying to literally come on a full force attack or tempt us off. But even if we go into what is known as a cul-de-sac, we can always back up and move on. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and him with me." And that's a great verse for evangelists to use. We say, God's knocking on your heart. And I remember singing songs like, "God, Jesus knocking on the heart, on our hearts. Are we going to let him in?" But actually, he's talking to the church there in Revelation 3. And he's saying to the Christians, "I'm knocking on your heart. I'm knocking on your door." He's knocking on the church door. He's knocking on our hearts of our lives saying, "Can I come in?" The problem is that when he comes in, he just don't want to be a backseat driver in the car. He wants us to move over and he wants to take control. He wants to drive. But have you ever been driving with some people? Now, if you're driving, have you ever driven with somebody who brakes for you? The leg's going down there every 2 minutes. Like, problem with your leg there. Or have you driven with somebody where you're putting the brake on for them? Because they're just like going, they don't see it happening. You see, God sees the beginning. He saw us before we were even born. And in Ephesians 1, it talks about, in a sense, how it's all laid out before us. He saw you before you were born. He saw you before you were even named by your parents. He knew your name before your parents even knew you. And he had a plan for you. He knew what school you'd go to. He knew what sort of education you'd go through. He knew where you'd be right now. But it is interesting how sometimes we blame our past for the situations we're in now. When God goes, I knew. I already knew. I knew what school you were going to go to. I knew the limits of your education. I gave you your brain. And let's face it, when God gave out brains, he didn't give them out all equally. Some people seem smarter than others. My daughter spells better than me. She wants to have a game at Countdown. But I frightened her because she knows I'm a whiz at maths. So I said, oh, you want to be careful with maths. But if we go on English, she'll thrash me. Because she can pull words out, and I haven't got a clue. I mean, Countdown to me is four letters, five at the most. Game of chess is something else. But she's already smarter than me when it comes to, you know, to science, chemistry especially. She's really good. Physics, I'm good at. She's good at different things, but she's 14. She's way ahead of me already. But God knew where I'd be, and he knows where you're going to be. He knows where you are now, and he knows where you're going. You can't blame the past for where you are when God goes, I knew you'd be here. Now, we can say I've made stupid mistakes, and there's always an opportunity for us to develop ourselves and learn, and it's never too late to learn. Like, I mean, Joe did a degree a few years ago. It's not impossible, it just takes more work. But it is interesting how when we're at school, we don't want to learn, and when we leave school, we learn. It's one of those funny things. I never read a book at school except for Kez. I don't know if you ever read that, but we had to read that one. And since leaving school, first few years, but when I became a Christian, I started devouring the Bible and I started getting to other books as well. But God had a plan for me and he's got a plan for you. The funny thing is that the plan that God's got for you, sometimes he gives you a bit of a snippet, maybe a heart or a vision. You can call it a picture, a dream, a vision or something of where you're going to be in a certain time. But you're back here and what he's showing you is out there. And you take steps thinking that's going towards where I'm going to go. This must be the plan that God's got for me, the journey. But then you realize that you're actually not going in the way you thought you would. Because God wants us to get us to a place where we're not really have brains that come out of us that we're so well educated or we're so gifted and talented. It's wanting to get us to on the journey with a humble heart, with a heart of compassion. Because there's no point getting where God wants you to be with arrogance. Because you're never going to do what God's called you to do. He's looking for a humble heart, and we looked at that this morning. But the journey that God's got for us is a journey for us all. There's a song that was sung earlier, Over Sunset Three is Free Indeed. And it's taken from John 8. Over Sunset Three is Free Indeed. And that's often really complicated things for me because it just says, for if the sun sets you free, you will be free indeed. And for me, my journey was that God set me free. And I was free. But I found it really hard when I've watched other people who come to Jesus with baggage and luggage and they lay it at his feet, but then seem to pick it back up. And to me, I'm thinking, Jesus, you said if you set us free, then we are free indeed. And yet some people seem to be carrying chains around from when we were little. Now, I'm not diminishing hurts and pains that have happened to us. And let's be honest, we've all carrying scars. If you've not got scars in your heart, you know, in your inmost being, if you're not scarred on the inside, you've not really lived a life. Or you're one of those fortunate few. Or even scars on the outside, we all carry them. But our scars are not there as an excuse not to do something. Our scars can be there to say, I can help you through this. It's no point looking back going, this has happened to me, therefore I cannot. We need to look at what has happened to us and say, no, now I can. Now, God's not looking for people who can be can empathize and sympathize. He's looking for people who can love. But let's face it, if you've been there, you can help. Our Tim used to say to me, he said, Johnny, you'll never understand somebody who's lived in addiction. And he used to use that as a bit of a tool. So sometimes we get into discussion and they go, Johnny, you just don't understand people who's had addictions. So one day I said to him, I goes, hang on a minute. You say I can't understand you because I've never been addicted to anything in your terminology. And he said, yeah, you've never been an addict. I said, and because of that, you think I can't understand. He says, yeah, you've no right to speak into my life. I went, okay. I said, do you realize that Jesus spoke about marriage and so did Paul in the Bible? And those are the two guys who spoke a lot about marriage that weren't married. So I said, if those two guys spoke about marriage who weren't married, then I can talk into your life who's never been there. Because let's face it, sometimes looking into a situation, you can help people. And yet when we're in the situation, we want people who's already there to help us because we think they'll understand. When really we want a parent or somebody else who's out of that situation or has come through that situation who can now say, let me help you out of there. I've been accused of being heartless, and sometimes me and Jo have these little things where she thinks my emotional level is turned right down. In fact, she said it's turned off. I just say it's turned down a little bit. But sometimes you don't want somebody. Sometimes you do want somebody to sit with you and maybe cry on your journey of life. And that's okay for a time. But if every weekend you're getting together and you're putting on Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Words and Unchained Melody or whatever else, other songs they might pull out of A Lost Love or something, that all you're going to do is go around in circles and you're not going with God's plan. There might be times in your life where God seems to not distance himself so much, but just backs off a little bit just to see that you can walk. Sometimes that sense of loneliness is not because God's backed off. It's just let go of your hands. Like Nathaniel, at one point he'd walk around and he'd see David hunched over trying to walk with him. But there comes a point where David let go of one hand and Nathaniel carried on. I remember another time when he's back, he almost let go of the other hand and he walked. And it's not that David or Danny or mum's or grandma's not there. It's just that they've let go. And sometimes in our own lives, the journey that God's got for you is a good journey. It's a good plan for our lives to give us hope and to give us a future. But sometimes God's just let go of our hands so that we can walk some steps. But even when we've walked those steps, we've got to realize as Christians, it doesn't mean we're special. It just means that we're walking. The next we'll be talking. The next we'll be doing whatever kids do as they grow up. But we're still dependent upon God. In John 15, it talks about that he is a vine and we have the branches and everything that we have comes from him. And yet sometimes as Christians, we think as we mature and we grow in God, that really Jesus is still there and we'll tap into him almost like dad with his wallet. You know, we just go to him when we want something. And yet it's not a case of going to him when we want something. We need to be with him constantly because he is our source of life. He is everything. He's whatever flows through us, the anointing, the gifting, the talent. Now, we might be good at some stuff, but without God's hands on it, it's just mediocre, no matter how good it is. And yet, he's the source of life. He's the substance we need. When we're getting run down, when we're getting tired, we often blame it on work or the spouse, the wife, or the husband, or the kids. We blame it on something. And we miss out the most important things. When really what it is, it's not a case of we're getting tired on the physical. That's just an outward work. And yeah, you might have to go to bed early. But I've realized there's a verse in the Bible that says that when we're strong in the spirit, we're strong on the outside. When we're tired in the spirit, we're tired on the outside. And sometimes it's not a case of you need more sleep, even though 8 hours is enough. Sometimes you need to be back in the Word of God. In the presence of God, spending time with God. I've not seen my mum for a long time. I see her periodically and she pops in and there's often this tension and she's to me, sometimes she seems to be sometimes having a go about stuff and she's not walking with God or anything like that. And that rubs her up a little bit because she knows I am. I mean, in one sense, she's the strongest woman I've ever known. She would give up food when we were kids just to make sure we were fed. She'd go out and do a little silly job just to get a bit of money for us because in the situation I grew up in, Dad would often spend the money on booze. And I'm not saying my mum didn't drink and go out there, but often she would put herself out when it come to help us. But we come into a bit of conflict sometimes. And I'm trying to reach out to her and tell her about God. And she's just, it's an offence to her. She don't want to know, but I need to keep reaching out to her. The problem is that my mum's, she once tasted the goodness of God. She once touched the heavenly gates, in a sense. She turned to Jesus for a while, and then she's gone away from it. And inside her now is something that touched God, and nothing else will do. She's looking for things, looking for love, looking for something that will just do the same. It's like, in a sense, it's like a drug addict looking for something that hit them last time. And she's touched God, and God's touched her and in a miraculous way. And she's seen what God's done in my life and in Tim's life and in Jez's life and even in my dad's life. But for her, it's just something else now she's looking for. I don't know how long this water's been here. I think that's from this morning. With tab ending it or something. But she's looking for something. But Jesus is the answer, and I keep telling her that, but she's trying everything else. And sometimes I watch kids do the same way. They'll try this and try this and try this, and Jesus is there waiting, but he seems to be the last one. But when they find Jesus, everything's all right, and you want to slap them sometimes, say, try Jesus first, and if it doesn't work, then go try everything else. But no, they want to try everything. Well, if I try Jesus, it means I can't do this and can't do that. And at the end of it all, God still has a plan for us. You might be feeling that you've missed that plan. Let's face it, when I turned 30, I thought the end of the world had come. That's it. God's plan's over and done with now. I'm old. Not realising I probably had more ahead of me than what was behind me. And when I turned 40, I nearly had a nervous breakdown because it's definitely over and done with. And it carries on. I'm not quite on the next big one. But we can look and think, God, what are you doing? But I'm realizing that while I've got breath in my lungs, God's plan for my life still stands. And the problem is that sometimes I look at my life, and you might look at your life and think, God's plan for my life is to be Smith Wigglesworth. Well, actually, it's not, because Smith Wigglesworth was Smith, and he's dead now. You could say, well, it's going to be Andrew Womack, or it's going to be Dwayne Shedd, it's going to be whatever it could be. Somebody to look up to, you know, for you lady, it could be Joyce Meyer, but you'd have to a bit more. It could be, but God's already got somebody doing that job. I've told a story recently about a church and over in Batley. And about 20-odd years ago, in fact, you'll know the one, the pastor left. I'm trying to think of timescales. Pastor left. And they've not really had a pastor since. But I'm told the story recently of three ladies that have been in that church. And every week, they would set out these chairs and they'd pray over every chair. And they'd keep praying, these 60 chairs, praying for them. Even over 5, 6, 7 people in the church, and they would pray over every chair, God, send them in, send us out, bring it in, bring us out, bring it up, bring it down, whatever it was. They'd be praying for it. And for 20-odd years, they've been praying. And they said this recently, because I was talking to one of the daughters, that they'd almost given up. Almost given up. And suddenly this couple have been sent by that denomination into that church, and they're just going in it next few weeks or so, and people are already starting to come in, starting to be gravitating towards it. The prayers of these three ladies, because they didn't go. Now, one of them said they thought God had great things for their life, but then they realized the great thing for their life was to pray this thing through. If they'd have given up, well, they might not have been seeing what they're seeing now. And sometimes we can look at great figures of God. You could say, Billy Graham. I want to preach like Billy Graham. That's good. It's a good ambition. But if God's not called you to do that, and you do it, you're not going to get any reward anyway. Because God's got a plan for you, which is different from a plan to me. But it fits with my plan and your plan, and then the next person's plan and the other plan, and it becomes the kingdom of God moving forward. Because it's not about whether I become a superstar or not. It's whether I do what God called me to do or not. And that the kingdom of God advances. Now, I would love to be on a stage with thousands of men. In fact, I dream about preaching to tens of thousands. I want to see revivals and stuff like that. But if I can cause a path to be made, and even if I can't make it there, I can make it for the next generation to come through. And God's plan for my life, and I pray it's not, but if God's plan for my life is just to make the path straight for the next person that comes on, then so be it. Because that's what calls a humble heart. And I'm saying this, no, I don't want it to be, I'm being honest, because I want to be the one standing on that stage and preaching and seeing thousands get saved and get healed. And I'm still believing for God for that. But if it means I've got to make a way for the next person, but I look at my path and my life, and I'll be honest with you, I've seen many people overtake me. I make a way and they just zoom past me. And I've realized that if my job is to release people, then let it be to release people. Because in heaven, I'll get rewards from them. It's not like Amway, you know, pyramid selling or outsider like that. But like Dave, who came through our church, we trained him up and he's now in the south of England. He's got a bigger church than us, but he's doing well. But I'll be rewarded for everything I put into his life. So it might be pyramids. No, it's not. Not pyramid selling. You know? But I'm going to get blessed because of what he's doing, because I released him. And sometimes we've got to release people. Because the sign of maturity in any one of us is not how big our ministry is, or how great or eloquent we speak, or whether we can shabba-dabba-do or prophesy in a great way. It's whether we love people, whether we care for people. And don't count yourself off, because if you're breathing, God's still got a plan for you. Yeah. The only person I know that got to a point of his life where God says, you've had enough, was Moses, and he was breathing until 120, and God says, you've lived long enough, mate, it's time to come home. You've got another guy earlier on in the Old Testament who God loved him so much, and he's walking with God, Enoch, walking with God, and he got to a point where God says, it's closer to my house now than yours, so come on, took him with him. And all these people serve God right to the end. And I love reading stories like with Jacob and Isaac. Jacob especially, because he leant on his stick, worshipped God, pulled his feet in bed and died. So it's like, right, I'm off, see ya, dead. And you just think, wow, right to the end. God's plan for us is to give us a good future, an expectant end. To go out right at the end. Now, I'm not saying anyone's going to get there, but to go out good. I visited Susanna a couple of weeks ago, and she's only got literally days now. And while I was watching, I just said, I hope if I ever get to that stage, I go out good. I die good. But I know that God's got me on a plan, on a journey, which is I'm going to cross that finish line of life with my hair on fire, my Doc Martens on, preaching the gospel, and I'm going to preach the gospel, see people get healed, set free, say kiss, and my wife won't be there because she'll have gone years before, kiss my kids, and drop dead. Take me home, Jesus. We're coming. Unless, of course, we raptures all out of here before then. But don't be the plan that God's got for you and for me. You can't take shortcuts on it. You can't. I've tried. You can't take shortcuts. And sometimes the problem is that you go from A to B to C to D, and D don't look anything like you're going. You get to E, and you carry on going H and J, and you get there to M. And you just think, what am I doing here? And something happens, and you mess up. I mean, you come back to God and say, God, I'm really sorry. And God says, that's fine. It's all right. Can I carry on the path? Yes, you can, he says. And he takes you back to A. But no, it's come on, A, B, C, D. And it's like when you're doing a fast and you say, I'm going to do 10 days and you get to 9 days and give up. The next time you know you've got to do the 9 days again before you get to the 10th day or 2 weeks or whatever it might be. Guys, all I'm trying to say is that whatever it is for you, God's plan, put it first. First priority. CSI is good. TV program. It's all right. Especially if you want to learn how to kill somebody and get away with it. But it's not going to change your life long term. It's not going to change your life if you've seen every episode of Friends or you've watched the latest movies that's come out. It's not changing your life. Now, I'm not saying they're wrong, but sometimes to get to the full length of the journey that God's got for you, sometimes you've got to unload some stuff. In Hebrews, it says, let us run the race that God set before us. And he says, let us, you know, it says, be wary of the sin that so easily entangles us and the weight of a life that comes upon us. You see, sin will entangle us and stop us and trip us up, but the weight of life is just something we've sometimes got to take off. God told me when I became a Christian to give up rugby. There's nothing wrong with rugby, but there was something wrong with me playing rugby. God told me to give up it. There were several other things that God told me to give up. It's not wrong, it's just he told me to do it because he knew that that was a weight I didn't want to carry. But even now, being a Christian for 30 years, for a long time, 30 years, and now there's certain things that God's saying, it's time to unload that weight. And it's not wrong stuff. It's not sin. But to carry on that course, Phil's talked about doing Three Peaks. And anybody who's seriously wanting to do Three Peaks, first thing you're going to do is get into training. And after a while, you realize to get into training means to change your diet a little bit. And then you've got to carry it as light as possible. You don't go doing Three Peaks with a 40 kilo bag or 40 pound, 44 pound, 20 kilo bag on your back. You go light. And the path that God's got for you, the journey that God's got for you, he said he's going to carry you most of the way. You see, his burden is easy, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. The funny thing is, though, when you get hold of Jesus' burden, it can become quite heavy on your heart. Because Jesus' burden is not, like I said this morning, it's not whether we've got a nice building. His burden is that person down the road who's off to hell. His burden is that family that's in desperation of injustice and they're needing help. And the problem is that we as a church are so focused on our own issues and problems and where we're going and making sure that we end up being the star of the show. And to be honest with you, I think the path that God has for us is not actually becoming something great. It's being someone great in Jesus. And Jesus wasn't so much, the only destination Jesus had was Jerusalem when he was going to die. Often between there and between, you know, starting his ministry and ending up in Jerusalem, it almost looked like he were aimlessly wandering around, but he were meeting appointments all the time. But we dismiss appointments when we're on the bus or in town, when we just come across somebody, because end of day, we've got something else. I'm a preacher, me. I don't need to witness to people. No, actually. Preaching's secondary, witnessing's first. Well, God's called me to be an intercessor. That's great. Intercede. But you still need to touch lives of people. So whatever path you're on, whatever journey you're on, keep Jesus at the forefront. Keep his eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And allow God to change us through the renewing of our mind, Romans 12:2. We're not to conform to the pattern of this world. And that don't mean we become sinners, but the pattern of this world that's been put upon the church. We don't conform to the pattern that the world has put on the church, but we transform, we renew our minds through the transformation of our lives, through what God's doing. Then we'll know God's will is perfect and good will for our lives. Guys, you need to just to focus. And I say this all the time, so I know you're the fanatics. You turn out on a Sunday night. But the truth is that we can all get complacent. And we need to keep running the race, seeking God at all costs. Amen. Amen. So I hope that's been a little encouraging from you. Not serious as this morning, but encouraging. Let me just pray for you. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you have set us free from sin. Lord, that you have made us saints. Lord, that we are your children. We are princes and princesses of the King Most High. Lord, help us to live lives that's honouring to you. Lord, help us not to be afraid of getting our hands dirty and to go out there and touch and change lives in your name. Lord, I pray that you will continue to speak to all of us. Help us, Lord, to see that your path, Lord, is leading us to a good place. Ultimately, straight into your heart. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for everyone and pray you'll give us all opportunities this week to change somebody's life, to speak Jesus into someone's life. Lord, I pray you'll give us the courage to step out in you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.